Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Thomas Fotenhauer from Woodbury Lutheran Church in Woodbury, Minnesota. Good morning, Pastor Fotenhauer.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. And you, sir?
I'm doing excellent.
Good, good, good. Tell us about Woodbury Lutheran Church in Woodbury, Minnesota.
Sure, I would love to. Woodbury Lutheran is a multi-site congregation, so we have one campus in Woodbury and one in Stillwater, Minnesota, about 10 miles north of our original campus. And one of the things I love most about our congregation is our name. We were named for our city because we wanted to be about our community. And so from the beginning of our inception about 50 years ago, now we're coming up on our 50th anniversary here in a couple of years, we've really been focused on how can we make a difference in our community? How can we be a space that's available for our community to use? And so it's really neat when you talk to folks, especially within Woodbury, they really know our building, they know our place, but most importantly, they know our people because their people are involved in our community, sharing the love and good news of Jesus as they go. So we want to be a place that is definitely about getting Jesus into the lives of people that we come in contact with. So it's a great place to serve. Very thankful to be there and continue to love just doing what we do in that place, serving Jesus.
Very good. Very good. Well, today we're studying Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. What would you like for us to know about this text before we dig in?
Sure. This is a great text, one of my favorites, in fact. I so love the contrast that we see here between the sinful woman and the Pharisee that seems to think he's got it all together. And there's so much that we can take out of this text, putting ourselves in both of those positions. And I love the transformation that takes place in this woman's life as she receives forgiveness, what that does to her, how she acts, how she responds. I think it gives us a great picture of how we have received forgiveness in Jesus and how that moves us to love others in particular with the same love that we have received. And then at the same time, you know, you've got this Pharisee sort of creeping along, trying to figure out what is this Jesus all about, you know, and the words before our text today in chapter 7, Jesus had just raised a dead man to life. He healed another centurion soldier's slave. And so we see that the people are beginning to sort of pick up that something's different about this Jesus. In fact, back in verses 15 and 16, the people are crying out that a great prophet has risen among us and that God has visited his people. And we see that reports about him are going throughout all Judea in the vicinity. And so there's this momentum growing around Jesus. And then in the middle of that, you've got this Pharisee, Simon, sort of wanting to figure out who this Jesus is, if he can be trusted, what he's all about. And then we have this great scene about forgiveness and love and grace that really transforms this woman's life. And so I love the contrast that's going on. And it should be pretty easy for us to put ourselves in both characters' positions, as we often find ourselves struggling with what it means to be a sinner and a saint at the same time. And as we struggle with, if you're anything like me, comparing yourself to other people, and it's amazing how often we get caught up in those kind of games, and we just see a great picture of God's grace and Jesus and what that can do for us as well.
Very good. Let's take a look at the text, Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. We're studying today with Pastor Thomas Fotenhauer from Woodbury Lutheran Church in Woodbury, Minnesota. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look, Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Let's start at verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is, who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. All right. So one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. So he's having dinner with one of the Pharisees. It's always nice to oblige when someone invites you to dinner, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it, how there's this invitation that we see in verse 36, and you sort of wonder what's behind that invitation. You know, often in our culture today, when someone invites you over, it's kind of for positive reasons, right? You invite a friend or a family member to dinner, or you invite them to hang out or to go and do something fun together. But you wonder what was loaded in the Pharisee's invitation as he's trying to figure out again sort of who Jesus is, if he can be trusted and so forth. And then you've got this woman, right, who just shows up, it seems, you know, a woman in the town who was a sinner, which is maybe another way of saying a prostitute or a woman of the night, or however you want to say it, found out that Jesus was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house. And so you've got this contrast. It sort of reminds me of when Jesus called Matthew. You know, remember that scene? He went to his house to eat dinner, and he had all these tax collectors around and all these sort of crazy people there, and Jesus makes it clear that he wants Matthew to come and follow him. And we sort of have the same thing happening here, where this woman shows up, and there's this great, again, contrast between her and the Pharisee. But then what she does to Jesus, so this alabaster jar of fragrant oil, of course, is a very expensive type of oil. And then the thing that stands out to me is how she's standing behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so there's almost this sense of, I can't even look at him. I can't even be in his presence necessarily. And so she stands behind him. And so there's this great sense of humility from her. And then that word weeping, right? This isn't a few tears. I think of a friend's funeral that he did on Friday for his mother, and the weeping that was happening there at the loss of someone that they loved so dearly. And we see that same just type of weeping here, enough that she could, imagine this, right, could wash his feet with her tears. That's a lot of tears. She's crying away.
Mm-hmm.
And then how she uses her hair as well. You just see the love that she has for Jesus here, and you know what he has done for her. And then you get into the Pharisee. This is so funny, isn't it? Verse 39. He said to himself, "Don't you kind of wonder what that looks like?" He's kind of muttering it, or if he didn't say anything, you know, or what was going on in his mind. And of course, we see it there in the text that this man, if he were a prophet, would know what kind of a woman that is who is touching him. She's a sinner. Sort of like, this is not what I expected, right, of this prophet who's just told John the Baptist's disciples that he's fulfilled the words of Isaiah and that the lame are healed and the blind see and prisoners are free and all that. And now he's got this sinner who's touching him. And so we see sort of fellowship all over the place in these first few verses. There's the fellowship of him eating with these folks, and now there's this woman touching him, and a sinful woman touching a prophet. I mean, this is shocking for this religious man. And I think it's easy probably for us to kind of sit back and actually judge the Pharisee, right? You know, why wasn't he more lenient and loving and so forth? But I think we got to understand just how shocking this had to be for him that, first of all, this woman, this sinner, has kind of been invited in now as well, and now she's touching Jesus. He's not doing anything about it. So I can understand why he's maybe feeling the way that he was. And then, of course, Jesus, in verse 40, sort of says cryptically, I have something to say to you. And even if he didn't have the rest of the story recorded for us by Dr. Luke, we could probably fill in the blanks of what's going to be coming here in a moment. And then the Pharisee, of course, says, almost confidently, well, teacher, say it. What do you have to say? Tell me what's on your mind.
Going back to what the Pharisee said, I do think it's interesting that here the gospel, the scriptures point out that he said to himself, and yet Jesus responds.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? This guy knows what you're thinking, right? Like, holy cow, you can imagine the shock of Simon when he's told what he was thinking, If you could imagine someone doing that to you, how you would respond today. Wow, this guy even knows the thoughts of my heart.
And Jesus, answering, said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, say it, teacher. And we'll get into the rest of that here in just a little bit. I do want to go back a little bit and take a look. You touched on this a bit already. Behold, a woman of the city. She was a sinner. When she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask. Let's talk about who this woman is. Yeah, I know you brought this up already. She has a reputation, apparently.
Yeah. So they would have. Well, I guess we could assume perhaps that they knew who she was. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Simon kind of says that later on. And it's interesting how in our own lives, right, that we sort of put expectations on people, or we think we know them, perhaps from their outward actions or their reputation. And so, yeah, I think you nail it, that she brings with her a reputation that makes her an outsider, especially to these religious folks and the Pharisees in particular here in this text. And so she definitely brings baggage with her that makes her an outsider. And it shouldn't be hard for us to sort of see who those people are in our culture today. And we think we kind of know who they are. And, it becomes uncomfortable maybe when we're around them. Mm-hmm. And our first response might be something like the Pharisee, hey, before you come into our church or into our neighborhood or into our circle of friends, you kind of need to clean up your behavior and change who you are, and then maybe we'll accept you. That sort of seems to be how the way of the Pharisees, where the way of Jesus is, no, why don't you come and hang out with me? And something funny is going to happen. Your life is going to be transformed as you get to know me and love me, and I intervene into your life. And so we definitely see that happening here with this woman who brings this reputation with her. But it's interesting, isn't it, that like so many in our culture today that are even far from God, she's interested in Jesus, right? She knows that he can offer her something that nobody else can. And she responds to that. And think of the guts it must have taken for her to walk into the Pharisee's house. To go ahead and to take that action. That was a risk on her part as mm-hmm. well.
Sure, that's bold, yeah.
You think of course, the story of Jesus and the woman at the well in John's gospel. They were ready to stone her to death for her actions, and here comes this woman, probably sort of in that same situation, caught in some sort of sexual sin or whatnot, and yet she takes the initiative to walk in into this place that probably wasn't so welcoming. You can imagine some of the looks that she must have gotten as she strolled into the house.
And so she, when she's there, her interaction with Jesus is all very humble. She doesn't really assume anything other than humility in this. It appears, anyway.
Yeah, I think that's a really an excellent point. She doesn't even come to Jesus really expecting anything, does she? She kind of goes there to give to him. And I think there's a lesson in that for us, I think for me as well. Sometimes I go to Jesus expecting, hey, what can you give to me? What are you going to do for me? Instead of just kind of humbly sitting at his feet and worshiping and just being humble in who he is and what he has done.
Well, we can
done for me.
We can go to him expecting what he has promised to give.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
We go to the divine service expecting to find what he has promised and to meet us there. So we can go expecting that. But yes, I think that's still in humility.
Oh, completely. That there's nothing on our part to deserve it, right?
Maybe absolutely.
Of looking at it. She didn't go there saying, hey, I deserve this, whereas the Pharisee, maybe on the other hand, felt like he deserved it because of who he was.
Great distinction. Yes, good distinction.
Absolutely.
There. Well,
absolutely.
We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today, we're studying with Pastor Thomas Fotenauer from Woodbury Lutheran Church in Woodbury, Minnesota. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us kfuo@kfuo.org. Stick around for more of His Time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Babies come with lots of decisions.
Cloth or disposable, crib or bassinet.
So when it comes to protection, go with the safest, most effective choice, immunization. Get all the recommended vaccines for your baby by age 2 to protect your child against 14 serious childhood diseases. For more reasons to immunize, talk to your child's doctor. Go to health.mo.gov/immunizations or call 800-219-3224.
Brought to you by the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Hi, I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran in St. Louis.
And I am Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's and New Athens and Trinity in Darmstadt, and we welcome you to listen to Wrestling with the Basics.
Matt, let go of me, man. No, it's not real wrestling. We're just talking about Bible issues.
No.
Oh, 9:05 Saturday mornings, 8:50 a.m. KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. 8:24 Central Time. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Thomas Fotenauer from Woodbury Lutheran Church in Woodbury, Minnesota. We're in Luke chapter 7 today, verses 36 through 50. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. Email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look. Pastor, are we ready to go on to, well, anything else about verses 36 through 40 before we go on to verse 41?
No, I think we're ready to roll.
All right, let's pick up at verse 41. Luke chapter 7, verse 41. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. All right. There, I think, are a couple of verses in here that certainly are going to require some digging in a little deeper to make sure that we don't misunderstand them, pull them out of context and use them inappropriately, because we're really good at that as Christians today. But a certain moneylender. So here, this is right after he says, Simon, I have something to say to you. And Simon says, say it, teacher.
Yeah.
A certain moneylender had two debtors. So can we call this a parable?
Yeah, it sure looks like it, right? It's a quick little story.
Mm-hmm.
And what I so appreciate about Jesus is how he can make such an amazing point with so few words. I sometimes wish I could do that. My congregation probably too. But just, you know, you look at that three sentences, I think it is, and you can imagine how Simon's feeling at that point as he totally can see where he's going with this.
So you don't have three sentence sermons?
Sort of like Jonah, right? He had the five word sermon or whatever. All of Nineveh repented. Can't you do that? That was the spirit. So this short little story or illustration, maybe is a better way of saying it, makes his point quite clearly, and you can almost sense in Simon's answer, verse 43 in my translation, he says, I suppose the one he forgave more. So almost kind of a begrudging, like, uh-oh, I know where this is going, and maybe I'm caught. And kind of like, oh, wait, we'll see what Jesus has to say to this. I hope he doesn't say much more, as maybe what Simon is thinking. And so, yeah, he uses definitely just that short little illustration to make his point. And then, of course, in verses 44 and following, or 43 and following, he really unpacks what he meant. And what I love about this, and I think what you said is really important here, is that it's easy to read this and kind of think, well, see, she did all this stuff, and so then Jesus forgave her. Without realizing that she did all that stuff because Jesus had already forgiven her. Right? She was living in his forgiveness, and that's what led her then to love much, which I think is such an important point for us and something that we do really well as Lutherans, you know, that our good deeds and our love and our life flows out of the forgiveness that we've already received. Whereas so many folks live in that trap, that lie, that myth, you know, that you got to do all this stuff to kind of get God back on your side. Well, in Jesus, he's already done all that, right? And so now, having received that love, we can love others extravagantly. And that's kind of what we see happening in her life.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. That was a lot of crying. If she wet his feet with her tears and then wiped them with her hair. That's a lot of tears.
Yeah, you wonder how long it was going on. You know, we're not privy to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was this a 2-minute little event, or was it kind of on and on and on and on? But you're right. Or was it some hyperbole to make a point, or what? You know.
Mm-hmm. I find it interesting in both of these stories, you know, the illustration that he shares about the moneylender and the debtors, and then also with the illustration with the woman as well. In both of these situations, the love certainly comes up. Now, you know, in verse 42, when they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more?
Yeah.
It's not he canceled the debt of both of them because they loved him.
Yeah.
But rather, he canceled the debt. Now, which of them do you think will love him more. And the woman who wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair, gave him kissed his feet and anointed him with ointment or gave him ointment, and I tell you, he says, therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. The love here is the symptom of being forgiven.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
It's not the reason she was forgiven.
Yeah.
It's easy to take this out of context, isn't it?
Oh, totally.
And turn it around.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, like you've said a couple times here, important. That's the danger of, again, reading it sort of a law-focused sense instead of seeing the gospel, what the gospel does. And there's a beautiful illustration of how gospel changes us and transforms us. And it's interesting, again, and I think the contrast that Jesus makes in 44 and following is there's sort of a growing response that we see in her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she didn't just simply give him water for his feet, which the Pharisee didn't even do that, which as a good host he should have done. He didn't even do the bare minimum. She, with her tears, washed his feet. And then, you know, you didn't even give me a kiss when I came in here. So, Pharisee, you know, you didn't even give me the proper greeting, right? But she hasn't stopped kissing, and not just kissing my face, but my feet to come in. And then you didn't take that extra step to anoint my head with oil, which would have been a really nice way to welcome me in. But she has anointed my feet with oil. So it's kind of an interesting, outgrowth, I guess you see, of each step kind of being a little bit more loving. And where the Pharisee didn't even do the bare minimum that a good host would have done in that day. And so, again, we see the contrast between the two. Yeah, and I appreciate how you put that. The symptom of forgiveness is love. I've never thought of that. And that's a pretty cool way to think about it.
It's so easy, though, in English, especially in multiple translations, to misread this. And verse 47, therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. It's so mm-hmm. easy to read that as, well, she was forgiven because she loved Jesus.
Exactly. In my text, and I've got the Holman Standard here, it says, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. I like this a lot. It says, that's why she loved much.
Yes, yeah. That's why I'm one of those polytranslation readers. I'm sure there's a Latin word for that, but reading multiple translations at one time when we're studying like this, and the God's Word translation reads, that's why I'm telling you that her many sins have been forgiven. Her great love proves that.
Wow. Yeah.
But whoever receives little forgiveness loves very little.
And I think we've probably all seen this illustrated in people's lives that we know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone who was far from God and just, you know, obviously we all are, apart from our baptisms, you know, but for someone like me who's grown up in the church and baptized as a little one, never really had the story of running the other way and all that, I can easily forget how much I actually have been forgiven. And it's easy to slip into that pharisaical mode and compare myself to, you know, someone else who's had the big story in life and was like this woman or whatnot. And I think it can stifle my love at times because I don't recognize how much I have been forgiven. So that's probably the challenge for a lot of our listeners today, right, who are probably pretty faithful folks, for us to recognize, you know, like Paul says, we are all sinners. We are all apart from God, not one of us. We've all fallen short. Mm-hmm. To recognize that really we're all the woman in this story, and we've all been forgiven much. And so now the challenge is to let that symptom of of love really show itself and be extravagant in the way we treat others in the same way that she was extravagant in the way she treated Jesus and didn't just do the kind of the bare minimum.
Indeed, that forgiveness is so freeing. Then we are free to love as God has given us to.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's I think that's really what brings, a distinction to sort of who we are as disciples of Jesus now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so often we look like the world around us, and maybe it's because we don't quite get the forgiveness that we've received and how amazing it really is. You almost can't help but to be joy-filled and loving and all that when we just need the Spirit constantly reminding us and encouraging us and, the sacraments bringing that forgiveness and hope into our lives and the strength to live out the love we've received.
Just one illustration, I think, from this earthly life, from marriage, something that God has given us for this earthly life. And that is, and certainly a reflection of our relationship with Him, is that, in marriage, when, you do something wrong and your wife doesn't forgive you, withholds forgiveness, holds a grudge. And so then do you want to go home? Do you want to, spend time with that? Or, it doesn't have to be your wife, could be any family member, really. Do you want to then spend time with them? No, because you're constantly feeling that guilt and that separation, that whatever prevents you from really enjoying life together with that person. So when there's no forgiveness, all we have is that guilt, and that prevents us from really enjoying all that God has given us to enjoy in life, in relationships. But when there's forgiveness, we're free from that. We're set free from that guilt, from whatever separates us from that person. And obviously, the ultimate forgiveness is that which is given us in Christ Jesus that restores that relationship with God.
Yeah, absolutely. And for all of us to understand that, we're the one who owes the 500 denarii.
Yes.
All of us are on the high end of the scale.
Yeah.
And yet he still freely offers that forgiveness. And that's what's interesting as you transition then into 49 and 50, right, is it's almost more shocking, I think, Jesus' claim here to forgive sin than when he raised the dead man back to life at Nain there just a few verses before. It's almost like people are more shocked that he makes this claim that he can forgive sins, because obviously, right, this is only God who can forgive sins. What is Jesus claiming about himself? And so they start to mutter again to themselves, or say to themselves, among themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? You can imagine what they must have been thinking at that moment. And, kind of from that point on in the gospel, there really starts to be a sort of a flip into how people are viewing Jesus, and he becomes more and more polarized kind of at that point with that.
And how does Jesus answer that when they say, who is this man who even forgives sins? He goes and forgives sins.
Exactly. And then what he says to the lady, I think, is so, so important. The laughter, go in peace. That idea of shalom with God, that, wow, everything is good between you and God. That's kind of how I like to translate peace. It's all good between us and God. And to be able to live in that hope that he very clearly says it's your faith that has done this. And how important that is for us as believers, especially as Lutheran believers, that it's our faith that we have received that receives the gift of grace. It's not the good work, so that helps us to clarify again verses 44 and following.
And even that faith is gift.
Yeah, totally, totally. Yeah, However that works, right? That she somehow has received that gift, that's received the grace, that's led her to now be able to live in peace. And that peace is something that dives so deep into our lives that it allows us to face the challenges, you know, that all of us inevitably face in this life. It wasn't, her life didn't all of a sudden become easy, right? I'm thinking that all the Pharisees weren't all of a sudden like, hey, let's hang out, you know?
Yeah.
This is great. Jesus has done this for you. There may have been some more anger that was directed at her, probably some condescension and so forth that she had to then face. We don't get to necessarily hear the rest of her story. But now she's been given that gift to kind of go and live life knowing that she has forgiveness and that she's at peace with God. And for our listeners, for you and me, and what a gift that is as we go back out into the world, as we go to our families, our workplaces, and so forth, and face all those things in life that we have to face, to know that we have God's peace in our lives because of the forgiveness that he has given to us. And, you know, if that can't motivate us to live a different life, a life where we follow Jesus, and I'll say this to my congregation all the time, I don't know what else to say to you. there's nothing else that can move us and motivate us besides the grace of God that we've received so fully in Jesus. That if that's not going to do it for you, then that's all I got, man.
Well, Pastor, looking over the text as a whole, anything else that you'd like for us to learn today?
Oh, again, we've gone over a whole lot of stuff. So I just pray that by the Spirit's movement, everyone who's listening today, and again for you and me as well, that the Lord will show us perhaps where we've been withholding our love from others, and maybe it's because we've had kind of a false view or a too high of a view of ourselves at times. And then on the other side of it, that, you know, wherever you've been in life, right, there's forgiveness for all of us. This comparison game that I think we so often get into is so dangerous, and yet Jesus frees us from that very clearly here in this text and says forgiveness is there for those who desire to receive it, moved by the Spirit, and where faith has been created, we are at peace with God. And so I hope that we can all rest in that peace, and that will then show in the way that we love extravagantly those who God places in our lives.
Our guest pastor today, Pastor Thomas Fotenhauer from Woodbury Lutheran Church in Woodbury, Minnesota. Thanks for being our guest today, Pastor.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks. God bless you and all the saints there at Woodbury Lutheran Church in Woodbury, Minnesota. Coming up in just a little bit, Witness Wednesday, live edition here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.